right, in Dreams from My Father, Obama says in passing that Wright had dabbled with liquor, Islam, and black nationalism in the 1960s. In the version of his sermon, Audacity to Hope, from which Obama got the title of his second book, Wright himself admits he was a black Muslim for a time. I was influenced by Martin King, yes, but there was this other guy named Malcolm. And I tried one brief time being a Muslim. As-salamu alaykum. Peace be with you, Wright said in the sermon. Anything but Christian? One wonders if Obama did not recognize himself in the Reverend and his experiences, including Islam. In The Audacity of Hope, Obama reveals that a key factor in his decision to join Trinity was, somewhat oddly, that he did not necessarily have to be a believer. He wrote that, faith doesn't mean you don't have doubts or that you relinquish your hold on this world. He walked down the aisle of Trinity United Church of Christ and decided to be baptized only after he realized that religious commitment did not require me to suspend critical thinking, disengage from the battle for economic and social justice, or otherwise retreat from the world I knew and loved. In clear and direct terms, Obama said his decision to become a Christian came about as a choice and not an epiphany. This, too, Alinsky, or Alinsky's admitted teacher, Machiavelli, would have understood. A calculated decision to position yourself favorably in the eyes of those you want to lead, whether you believe in the decision or not. Ironically, Kelman's life turned out differently. He had a religious conversion that caused him to drop his Jewish faith and enroll in a Christian divinity school. After his life-changing experience, Kelman perhaps decided to continue his community organizing from within the church instead of trying to use the church from the outside. Kelman's explanation of Obama's conversion was pure Alinsky. Community social change is the end. Faith is the means. Clearly for Kelman and Obama, the ultimate political goal has always remained the same, to redistribute power and wealth from the haves to the have-nots. Kelman now pursues the goal through the church, while Obama pursues the goal through politics. When Obama returned to Chicago at the end of 1991, after graduating from Harvard Law School, he did not immediately go to work for a law firm. Instead, in 1992, he was hired to be the Chicago director of the National Project Vote. The goal of Project Vote was to register to vote as many disenfranchised minorities as possible. As director of the project, Obama was successful. He ended up registering thousands of previously unregistered minority voters, most of whom were black Chicagoans living on the South Side. The volunteers' T-shirts proclaimed, "It's a power thing." This slogan was printed on the campaign posters that appeared everywhere in Chicago's South Side, subtly transitioning the angry black power of Stokely Carmichael and the 1960s into the empowerment campaign that in the 1990s was being argued nationally by Chicago-based Louis Farrakhan and the black Muslims. Then, in 1993, Obama joined the law firm of Davis, Minor, Barnhill, and Gallen, the same firm that was legal counsel to the Woods Fund, which had originally funded his position as community organizer in 1985. In 1995, when Obama decided to run for the Illinois State Senate, he returned to his old friend, Gene Rudd of the Woods Fund, to ask for help. "That's a switch," Rudd told him. surprised Obama wanted to leave community organizing? Oh no, Obama said. I'm going to use the same skills as a community organizer. He was stepping onto the political stage with even larger ambitions to organize communities. In a 1995 interview with the Chicago Reader, Obama asked, "What if a politician were to see his job as that of an organizer, as part teacher and part advocate, one who does not sell voters short, but who educates them about the real choices before them? As an elected public official, for instance, I could bring church and community leaders together easier than I could as a community organizer or lawyer." When Obama tells audiences that his community organizing experience taught me a lot about listening to people as opposed to coming in with a premeditated agenda, he is reciting pure Alinsky dogma. Listening, in the Alinsky lexicon, is just a tactic. But the tactic is powerful when listening is presented as genuine sympathy, to understand the community's needs as the community understands those needs. Obama listens because he has been taught the only way to intensify discontent is to use the language of the community itself. The view is intrinsically an elitist view. Always the organizer knows best. It is the community that must be led, even if the only way to lead appears passive, by listening first. Becoming a politician, Obama was not planning to stop being a community organizer. In an interview with the Chicago Tribune, Kelman provided insight into why Obama gravitated to politics. Kelman explained to the Tribune that Obama told him his father had returned to his native Kenya, bursting with intellect and ambition, only to devolve into an embittered bureaucrat, because he